الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic that we are discussing is Karbala, yesterday, today and tomorrow. In regards to the topic, we mentioned a few things to you on the first day. We're going to try to elaborate one point today, and inshallah, if Allah ta'ala wills, we will go through the lessons of Karbala or the ibrats of Karbala. But as we mentioned to you, that history, there are events in history that stay in history. But the lessons that are out of those events, they stay forever. The only reason why history repeats itself is because human beings do not learn the lessons. And over and over and over again, the same event with different names will have to be repeated until humanity learns the lessons of history. In that regard, Karbala is actually something which was not just particularly for the event that happened in Iraq, but it was an event which was happening before as well. It happened in history, it is happening today, and it will happen tomorrow. If the lessons are not learned, there will always be kids who are 6 months old who would be massacred. There will be still women whose hijab would be taken. There will still be brothers who will see their own brothers get massacred. There will always be those oppressions that happened in Karbala. Unless and until humanity learns the lessons and learns the characters that were responsible for the event of Karbala. One of the things that we say is that Karbala saved Islam. Right? All of us, we say that Karbala was responsible for saving Islam. Imam Hussain Sattu Salam saved Islam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now this Islam that Imam Hussain Sattu Salam saved, is it the same Islam that today Wahhabis are practicing? Is it the same Islam that Taliban are practicing? Is it the same Islam which is being practiced by 1 billion Muslims around the world? If the answer is yes, then we have to see that was it truly and truly the same Islam which the Wahhabis, the Taliban, or the 1 billion people practicing today, in the same shape and form as it was in Karbala? Or is it the same Islam that we have in our households? Is it the same Islam that we have in our madrasas? Is it the same Islam that we have in our centers? Is it the same Islam which is being practiced in Pakistan? Is it the same Islam which is being practiced in India? Is it the same Islam which is being practiced in Iraq? Is it the same Islam which is being practiced by countries that are calling themselves Muslims? We have to try to understand what this Islam was that was saved by Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because he did save Islam. Now, was it the same one that we have today, or is it going to be the same one that is going to be tomorrow? Meaning when Imam Zaman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, he is going to implement the system of Islam on the face of this earth. The sisters were asking yesterday, is it okay for them to get the naras going? And I said that today, inshallah, yesterday, the men's ghairat have probably woken up and you will not have to do that. The slogans are there. Even the army of Imam, the 12th Imam, would have slogans. Ya Tarat al Hussein would be the slogan or the nara of the 12th Imam's army and his companions. You can find this in every culture. You know, when there is Namaz-e Jumu'ah in Iran, when the speaker says something in which the people find the emotions come up to the point where they feel like shouting something, they do have those naras. They have those slogans. But I understand that the country that we live in or the country that we are reciting this majlis in, you probably will not be able to recite the same naras as are recited in Iran. But if you go to Lebanon as well, if for example, Nasrullah is, you know, he's saying something and there is a point where the people feel that they need to show their emotions, they have naras there as well. One of those naras we can do, and that is Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein. Labbaik Ya Hussein basically means, yes, I am saying yes to your call, Imam Hussein. And that yes to the call of Imam Hussein is not just specifically for the battlefield of Karbala, but that call for help of Imam Hussein Sattusam has existed in every single era that this world is going to exist and will exist. And there are going to be people who will be calling yes to the call of Imam Hussein Sattusam now. The question is whether it is going to be you and I, or it's going to be the people in Lebanon. Whether it's going to be Hezbollah, or it's going to be those people that are living in other parts of the world. The question is not that the yes will not come. We've come to a point where I've said a name, where the name Hezbollah basically means the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hezbollah means the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you are not in the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the other choice? There's only two camps. There is a camp of Yazid and there is a camp of Imam Hussein. Either you are in the camp of Yazid or you are in the camp of Imam Hussein. The camp of Imam Hussein is Hezbollah, and the camp of Yazid. So the people who have been mourning Imam Hussein for the last 1400 years, they should not get scared when they hear the name of Hezbollah. Because that is supposed to be their party, that is supposed to be their camp. One of the, like we have CSIS in Canada, you have FBI here, or Homeland Security. Now, please, whenever, if it's too scary for you, just let me know and then we will change the
subject.
You know, like in horror movies, when it's too scary, people, they close their eyes and they want to fast forward. So if it becomes that way, just let me know and we can fast forward for you. This Nara of bravery, if you ever feel that you're becoming a bit cowardness is seeping through, then you can say that Nara to gain strength. Right? So either you are in Hezbollah, in the camp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're in the camp of Shaitan. There is no middle ground. Because as soon as someone is taken out or goes out of the camp of Imam Hussein ﷺ, the next camp is the camp of Yazid. There is no camp which is called Hezbollah and Hezbo Shaitan. There's no, like there's either Hezbollah or there is Hezbo Shaitan. There's no camp which is called, you can also be in the camp of Allah and you can also be in the camp of Shaitan. There is no such thing in this world. It is like fire and water. Fire and water, they don't mix. It's like oil and water, they don't mix. There is no middle ground. The lesson of Karbala is that there is no middle ground. In Ziyarat Ashura, we are cursing those individuals who decided for themselves to stay quiet and neutral. In actuality, there is no such thing as neutrality in Islam. Either there is haq or there is batil.
Salawat! Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We just have to decide which camp we're going to be in, because if we come out of the camp of Shaitan, we are automatically going to be in the camp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we come out of the camp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically we're going to be in the camp of Shaitan. So sisters asked one individual, they said, what do you think of Hezbollah? Now the person asking is from the Canadian Intelligence Services Agency or something like that, CSIS, something. Actually they call themselves Public Safety Department. Like they have their Homeland Security Department. Anyways, what do you think of Hezbollah? The person replied, let's say there are two teams playing. Soccer, football, you have American football, I don't know. Any teams, two teams playing. One team belongs to your country or to your city, and the other one belongs to the other. Right or no? Whenever there is a game, there are audiences, and one part of the audiences are supporting one team, the other is supporting the other team. Have you ever seen a sports fan who says, I will support whoever wins? You seen those? Then they're not support, they're not the fans. They're not fans, because if they were fans, it would be either this team or the other team. So the person said to that lady who asked the question, he said to her, let's say there are two teams, which team would you be supporting? She said, I'll support my team. This is what we do too. They are the Hizb of Allah. They are the group of Allah. This is our team, and we are supporting our team. It's a natural thing.
Narae Hadari! Yaari!
Anyway, so there is an Islam which was saved by Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what we need to find out is that that Islam which was saved by Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where is it? Is it the Islam of the Wahhabis? Is it the Islam of the Taliban? Is it the Islam in Islami Jamhuriya Pakistan? Is it the Islam in our households? Is it the Islam in our centers? Is it the Islam in our madrasas? and which Islam would the Imam Zaman والسلام, be implementing on the face of this earth? Are they going to implement the Islam of Wahhabism? Are they going to implement the Islam of Taliban? Are they going to implement the Islam of Islami Jamhuriya Pakistan? Are they going to implement the Islam in our centers? Are they going to implement the Islam in our households? Which Islam is the Imam of the time going to implement on the face of this earth? We should know. Let's look at some of these Islams. Let's start with our own household. The Islam that we have in our household, most of us, cannot unite parents with kids. Cannot bring justice inside of the household. We have our brothers and sisters who are getting married, and after a year, year and a half, they're getting divorced. We have parents screaming and shouting, "Our kids do not listen to us." And the kids are shouting, "Our parents don't listen to us." There is chaos, disunity, injustice. "My wife is an oppressor," they say. The husband is saying, "My wife is an oppressor." The wife is saying, "My husband is the oppressor." Yani, there is no one worse than my husband. And the husband is saying, "There is no one worse than my wife." Especially when there are differences, they call the Molana and they start telling you, "Here, the husband's side is just like the worst wife that could ever exist in the world." And you hear the wife's side, which is like, "It's the worst husband that could ever exist in the world." Or the household where there are marriages that are done on the basis of the nose. Because you're in LA, you will be able to appreciate that. "Bhai, hame to wo bahu chahiye jiska naak teekha ho." Teekha. "Hame to wo bahu chahiye jiska naak bas chota sa ho." We're looking for that wife for our son whose nose is very proper. We're looking for a wife for our son whose skin color is white. "Bhai, hamari to bahu bahut hi safed hai." Hum to safed bahu ko lekar aayenge aur hota aise hi hai. Generally, ek safed bahu आ जाती है जिसकी आंखें नीली हो। Generally, it happens that you know there are like levels of beauty is defined by the color of their skin. The more bright, the more beautiful, the less in the pigments. As it comes towards dark, the less beautiful. We will get married to that individual who has a massive house, has a PhD, has a degree, is a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. Before it was only doctors. If there was a person giving a speech and he gave a beautiful speech in the grassroots, you know, why is it that all Indian Pakistanis are becoming doctors only? After he came down from the podium, the person asked, "What does your kids do?" "MashaAllah, they're all doctors." This is the condition of our households. No one is asking the other individual whether how is the fate of this individual. What is the level of taqwa in this individual? Whether the person prays 5 times a day or he does not. That Islam which cannot bring justice and peace in your household, do you think it is going to be the same Islam which the Imam of the time is going to implement on the rest of the world? The Islam which cannot bring justice among 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, do you think that that Islam can bring about justice in the rest of the world? Let's come to our center. 20 people. ECBOG, ECBOG आप ऐसे ना देखिए, EC यानी Executive Committee, BOG यानी Board of Governors. Every particular center that exists in North America, Europe, in Pakistan, in India, is filled with injustices. It's filled with corruption. It's filled with anah, with egos. It cannot provide justice and peace for their communities. If there is one center, there will be illegitimate births of another center. And then that center will have another illegitimate birth of another center. And then that center will have another illegitimate birth of another center. And this will continue. Don't look at me as if I am saying something new to you. These are the problems that we are facing today. If we are not going to address them, if we are not going to recognize, if we are not going to say that something is wrong, how is it that we are going to change anything? So that Islam, which is in the centers, cannot bring about justice and peace in their community. How is it possible that the same Islam would implement it on the world would bring justice and peace? Possible? Not possible. What is the 12th Imam going to do? He's going to bring peace and justice and equality around the world. Yes or no? And the way he's going to do it is going to implement the laws and the system of Islam all around the world, which will bring about this result.
Now, salawat!
Then what about Islamic Jamhuriya Pakistan? Can that Islam, which has made, the system has made such that people do not have the day-to-day life necessities? Sugar. You can't find it in the market. If you find it, it is so expensive that the poor can't afford it. We had a newspaper that published a news that a mother was selling her daughter in the street, had a sign saying, give me this amount of money and you can buy my daughter. Because she could save the rest of her kids. And the person who read this clip or this newspaper said, I wanted to find out whether this was true or not. I went to that particular area and I investigated and it was true. Unfortunately, it was the neighborhood that he grew up. He did not know that this was happening. He also found out in that investigation that the neighbor had on the top floor a family living there for years who actually did not have a roof on the top floor. On the top floor, there was no roof. There was a family living there for years. Can that Islam, which is now in Islamic Jamhuriya Pakistan, be implemented on the rest of the world to bring about justice and peace? Agar aaj duniya mein chini hai, to chini bhi khatam ho jayegi. If there is sugar available in the rest of the world, if that system is implemented, sugar will. Imam Hussein saved an Islam. And it is that Islam which does have the power and the ability to bring about justice and peace in the rest of the world. This Islam is called Islami Nabi Muhammadi. It is only the pure Islam which was brought by the Holy Prophet and by 124,000 prophets that has the ability to do that. Allah SWT says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ
وأنزلنا معه الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط.
We have sent all of the prophets with clear proofs. We have sent down books. We have sent down a measuring scale. So what should be the end result? ليقوم الناس بالقسط, so that human beings on their own can live with each other with justice, equality, and peace. Islam came for this world, not the hereafter. Hereafter is only the result of what we do in this world. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة. Islam laws, rules, aqidah, asool, akhlaq, all of that is for this world, not the hereafter. If we were to say, I will give you water, but it will not quench your thirst. It will only quench your thirst when you are in the grave. Sabe? I will give you biryani, but this biryani will not finish your hunger. It will only finish your hunger when you are in the grave. I will give you jalebi, but it will not give you the sweetness in your mouth. Only when you are in the grave. Your natural question is, Baba, why give it to me here? Just give it to me in the grave. When it cannot do anything for me here, why giving it to me here? Just give it to me in the grave. It's the same natural question that will arise, that if my religion cannot solve all of my problems, not just my household, not just my community, not just the countries, but all of the problems of the world, then why give it to me here? Just give it to me in the hereafter. Religion.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Does Christianity have the capacity to be able to bring about justice and peace in the rest of the world? No. Does Judaism have the ability to bring about justice and peace around the world? No. Does any religion that exists today have the ability to bring about justice and peace in the rest of the world? No. Is there a religion that can bring justice and peace in the world? Yes. And that is called Islam in Arabic, Muhammad.
Salawat! Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Religion, Christianity, Judaism, Sikhism, Hinduism, whatever religion that happens to be, what is their ultimate goal? What is the ultimate goal of Christianity? What is the ultimate goal of Judaism? What is the ultimate goal of Sikhism, Hinduism? What is the ultimate goal of Islam? This is a question I would like an answer. Okay, no answer. Ultimate goal of the religions that exist today is to go into heaven and to avoid hell. To go into heaven and avoid hell. Why does a Christian pray? So that he can go to, or she can go to heaven. Why does a Jew pray? So they can go to heaven. Why does a Sikh go to the temple, Gurdwara, so that he can go to heaven? Why does a Muslim pray? Can go to heaven. So what is the ultimate goal of all the religions of today? Heaven. And that was not the goal. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. The goal was not to go into heaven. The goal was so that human beings with their own power of reasoning, understanding, with emotions, can deal with each other with justice and peace.
Heaven and hell is motivation. Motivation. Beta, ye kaam kar lo, homework kar lo, I will give you chocolate. My son, please, can you do this homework so that I can give you chocolate in the end? And if you don't do it, No, you can't say slap or you can't say physical, no. The child services will come and take your kids.
No chocolate.
It happened to my father when he realized that what a big mistake he has done by bringing us into Canada. When I was 18, he went to my high school and he said, I would like to get the marks of my son. And the administration of the school replied, you need permission from your son. Because he has reached the age of 18, he is an adult now, and in order for you to see his results, you will need to get written permission from his son. My dad came home. I think he was sad, very sad. I didn't see him. But he said to my mom, we have made a mistake. We have brought our kids in a country where when they become 18, we become their subordinates. That parent's role is only as of a caretaker and not of a master, not of a leader, not of a role model. But as long as they pay the bills, it's okay. Other than that, no. Beta, do your homework or else you will be grounded and you have to stay in your room and no PSP and no 360, Xbox 360, no movies, no computer games, no none of that. Just you're going to stay in your room. And the son goes, that's wonderful. In my room, I already have all those. So motivation is either given to you by gain or by loss. Allah SWT said that praise Salah because what you will get is you will go away from everything that is evil, bad. You will get away from all of those things that are without purpose if you praise Salah. That is the homework. Motivation is, I will give you heaven. Fast, I will give you heaven. But the homework is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that maybe, by fasting, your homework is that your taqwa will come and increase as from the first day of the month of Ramadan till the last day of the month of Ramadan, each day being a step of taqwa that you will go and elevate yourself. What did we do? We just worried about the chocolate. And worried about not going into hell. How long does humanity have to go through this? How long are we going to have the mental maturity of a 6-year-old. When you grow up, when you're in university, you understand the homework that you are doing is actually the reward. When you are learning something, that knowledge that you gain is actually the reward. But you find a 40-year-old reading Quran so he can get the chocolate. Reading of the Quran is actually the reward. This knowledge that you will gain from Quran will elevate your soul from asfal as-safilin into a'la aliyin, will take you out of your animalistic side and soar you above the angels.
Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So the religion whose ultimate goal is going to be heaven and avoiding hell cannot bring justice and peace in this world. What do you think these suicide bombers are longing for? The ones who go and martyr our brothers and sisters in Pakistan or in Iraq, What are they looking for?
Heaven.
They think that by taking the innocent blood of their own brothers and sisters, they are going to go to heaven. Why do you think the crusaders went and killed so many Muslims that the hoofs of the horses in the streets could not be seen because there was so much blood? So those Christians can go to heaven. The religion which is ultimate goal is heaven or avoiding hell cannot bring justice and peace in this world.
What were the friends of Imam Hussein saying? When Imam Hussein said that heaven is yours, what were they saying? We don't want heaven. We only want you. What would be heaven without you?
Imam sees one of his companions, his face is sad. He comes up to him and says, why are you so sad? Is it the martyrdom? He said, no, the martyrdom is not the question. The question, the reason why I am sad is because I know I have to go to battle right now and I will be martyred and there will be a space in between me and you. That for that time frame, I will not see you after I am martyred. Imam Hussein says, don't worry. Soon you will see me. Who were the people after heaven and avoiding hell? There were people in Kufa. The people in the army of Yazid, they wanted heaven and avoid hell. Were they not praying salah? Were they not saying Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah? Were they not Hufaz of Quran in the army of Yazid? Were they not people in Medina looking for heaven who left Imam Hussein? Were they not people in Makkah who were looking for heaven and left Imam Hussein?
They were.
Heaven is only the motivation.
Are you with me?
Yes.
What are you motivated by? There are three types of worshippers. One worshipper is a tajir, businessman. He does muamalat, transactions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will give $100 so I can get $1,000. The other is a slave who says, please master, don't hit me, I will do the work. Don't hit me, I will do the work. This person is afraid of hell and that is the reason why he's motivated or she's motivated to do something. Then the third type of individual is the one who is free. Says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this chocolate and this punishment is not worthy for me to obey, but you are worthy for me to obey you. This heaven and hell is not enough motivation for me to do something, but your love is the motivation that will run me and make me obey you.
Nare salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Imam Ali said, it is not the heaven or the hell that I worship you, but it is because I have found you to be worthy of worship.
Someone came and said, have you seen this God that you worship? Imam said, if I have not seen him, how can I worship? What is your motivation? Would it not be, okay, even if you're a tajir, I salute you. Even if you're a slave, I salute you. And if you're a hood, I would like to kiss your hand. But if you're neither the three, how lowly of a state of a person has to be that neither heaven motivates, neither hell motivates, And neither the love and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala motivates for this person to worship. What would you say to that sister who does not wear hijab because she's not motivated by heaven, she's not motivated by hell, she's not motivated because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship, she has no motivation. Her only motivation is to be accepted by the society and the culture that she lives in. What would you say to that person who is sleeping while the Fajr time is there? What would you say to that individual who has the opportunity to come and gain heaven by shedding the tears from their eyes for Imam Hussein, but does not come? I hope and I pray that I and you are not those people. So the Islam which will be able to bring justice and peace is which Islam? Islami Nabi Muhammadi. Your faces are my clock, and I'm always, every time I'm right.
Nothing wrong with the faces.
See, the thing is, Islam needed to be purified, and to keep it purified, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had devised the system of wilayat. The wilayat of Imam Ali and the rest of the Aimah is that purification plant which keeps Islam in its purest form. Imam Ali Ali's wilayat is that purification plant which kept the Islam that was brought by 124,000 prophets in its purest form. Imam Hussein's walayat was that purification plant which purified the Islam that was brought by 124,000 prophets in its original form. But each purification plant had to sacrifice for the purification plant of the God of Imam Ali, he had to see himself in a place where his wife's hand was to be broken because she did not let go. He had to stay in his house for 25 years. He had to go on the streets and say salams to people, but there were no one who would reply back, wa alaykum salam. He had to pay those prices to keep making sure that the Islam that was brought by the Prophet stayed in its original form. It was Imam Hassan al-Salam who had to wear zira, who had to wear a vest which protected him from the arrows that were thrown at him when he was leading the Salah of Jum'ah. He had to take that position and action to save Islam by doing sulha, by doing the peace treaty with Muawiyah. He had to make sure that this Islam stays pure. To keep that Islam pure, he had to sacrifice the organs he had inside. To keep that Islam pure. Till the time came for Imam Hussain Sattu Salam and his little daughter Bibi Sakina, when he was going to go to the battlefield, when he had the blood of Hazrat Ali Azhar on his beard, when his back was broken because of Hazrat Abbas's body having no arms, with a spear with an arrow in his eye, with the blood of Hazrat Ali Akbar, whose body he had to drag, with those hands that he had to take the spear out of the chest of Hazrat Ali Akbar, with his clothes being torn, because him being afraid that they will not leave his clothes after his martyrdom, when he sat on Zuljannah and wanted to go, he sees that Zuljannah is not moving. He says to Zuljannah, "Zuljannah, it is the last request that I'm making to you. Please take me to the battlefield. I will not make any more requests." And the Zuljannah looks at Imam Hussein and then looks down with tears in his eyes. Zuljannah apne aansu bhari aankhon se niche dekhta hai. Aur niche Imam Hussein kisko paate hai apni choti beti Sakina ko jo Zuljannah ki taangon se lipti hui hai, keh rahi hai ki Zuljannah mere papa ko us maidan mein na leke jao jis maidan se koi wapas nahi aaya. Whose doctor is saying, "Don't take me, my father, into that battlefield, that no one has come back." Imam Hussein Hassan comes down from Zuljannah. This time, it's a different time when he comes down from Zuljannah. It is not the last time. You know what happened in the last time he came down from Zuljannah? His body was suspended in the air because of the arrows. This time he comes down from Zuljannah and says to his daughter, "My daughter, meri beti, idhar aao na, gale milo. Come and help me. Come in my arms. Why are you crying?" Naro. And they said that when Imam Hussein held his daughter in his arms, the army heard him cry. And his cries were so loud that the army said, "We saw Hussein in the end holding his daughter and crying so loudly we could hear his cries." Kuch bhi milta ki Imam Hussein ne apne aap ko tapti hui ret pe, Karbala ki ret pe nikali aur kaha, "Beti aaja mere seene pe so le." सीने पे सागा के उसके बाद क्या पता सर सीने पे रखा जाएगा या नहीं. Imam Hussein, in some traditions, says that Imam Hussein lied on the hot sand of Karbala and asked Bibi Sakina to lie on top of his chest, as it was the way that she slept. The chest of Imam Hussein was the pillow on which she slept. But she received this pillow in a different state. In Shab-e-Ghareeba, she received this pillow in a different state. This pillow was flushed by the hooves of the horses. She said, "Baba, I don't want you to go." Imam Hussein replied, "My little daughter, if I do not go, this Islam of your grandfather will no longer exist." Meri beti, agar main nahi jaunga Karbala, to ye jo Islam hai tere nana ka, ye khatam ho jayega. The daughter replies, now listen to the reply of this 6 years old or 4 years old daughter. Listen to her reply. She says, "Oh my dad, if by you not going Islam will be finished, Bismillah." Mere baba, agar aapke na jaane se Islam khatam hota hai, agar aapki shahadat se Islam bachta hai, to jai Bismillah. The word of Islam. The work of Islam is great. My brothers and sisters, do not take your religion lightly. Do not take prayers lightly. Do not take the obligations lightly. These obligations come with the price of the tears of the recipient. It comes with the price of the bruises on their face. It comes with the price of an ear being injured. It comes with the price of her being scared in the land of town. Allah Ta'ala cursed the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. May Allah Ta'ala show them of the atrocities that they committed. May Allah Ta'ala